Stop jumping on me. Why are you doing that?
Having a bad dog day?
Rex, come back here.
From police dogs to pet dogs, from potty training to pet peeves, number one best-selling author and 30-year canine trainer Andy Falco knows how to get to the meat of what's eating your dog. This is Falco Canine Dog Talk,
the show that helps you and your dog create a relationship of love and respect.
What a good boy. Good heel, Rex. I love you, Rex.
And now here's your host, Andy Falco.
Thank you, Christopher, for that fine introduction. I really appreciate it. Hey, gang, this is Andy. And this episode of Falco Canine's Dog Talk, I want to talk about the importance of the very first phase of our 8-week basic obedience course and why it is so important. Now, some of you who have been in our class know what I'm talking about, and some of you that are just simply getting into our podcast and don't know anything about our 8-week course that we put people through. You're going to learn something about our training process that I think is a very key component. And if you're a trainer listening to this, of course, we do have courses available online. One is being produced right now that will be available hopefully by November. I'm trying to get it done in time for the holidays. And it is going to be a course that will put trainers through a course that will allow them to essentially teach our 8-week course. And this very first day on the field is, I think, really, really important. Now, before I get started, I want to let you know that you may hear a few sounds here and again, and it is my 1-year-old son. His name is Bo, and he has to be here with me today during my podcast because one of my other sons, Rhett, is not feeling too good, so we had to take him to Kaiser to get him looked at to make sure that everything's okie-dokie. And so I'm here with the kiddos, a couple of my five, and he likes to squeak and squawk a little bit and likes to giggle. So you're going to hear a little squeak and giggle here every so often. So I just wanted to point that out. I hope you don't mind. I know that that may not be very professional on a production standpoint, but that's just the way it is. And he's not going to bother us too much. All right. Big yawn.
Got a dog question you'd like answered on air? Call the canine line at 714-798-9961. That's 714-798-9961. And now, back to Falco Canine Dog Talk.
All right, so let's talk about this very first session. And again, if you have just begun our class, this will be really important for you to kind of listen to again, even though you've heard our trainers discuss this with you while you've been out there on the field. It'll be a good reminder. I know how tough it is in the first couple days of our training sessions for people to hear everything that is said, because sometimes you're so busy with your dog, or the dog that you're standing next to may be barking, or your mind will be other places because you're wondering, about some of the people that you're standing with and what they do for a living and that kind of stuff. So this will be good for you to hear once again, and maybe you'll hear something new that you didn't hear the very first time. All right. So in our very first training session, what it is that we do and recommend is for people to first learn how to get their dogs to become still, stationary, and quiet. Ooh, that's a big one, especially for some of our little dogs, little yapping dogs or Labrador retrievers, that in some cases it's very, very difficult for those dogs to become still and stationary and quiet. Their energy level is such that it doesn't allow them to do it. It's like taking a child who has energy issues and getting them to sit down in a library and be quiet, right? Or sit into a restaurant and to be quiet so that you're not disturbing the people you're sitting next to. And it can be very, very challenging. But for me, when I developed this training program, I realized how important it was, especially for police dogs, when I just got through driving, 90 to 100 miles an hour to a call where somebody had a gun and was threatening neighbors or holding somebody hostage, and I needed to take a position of a tactical position that would be hopefully, you know, behind a tree or a bush or another house, and I needed my dog with me, and I needed him to be still, stationary, and quiet. And for anybody that knows anything about police dogs or been around police dogs, your dog on the way to a call like this one can get him fairly amped up. And as you're driving with your lights and sirens, or code three as we call it, your dog begins to get very pumped up because he knows when you do that, that you're on your way to some place where he may be used. And so your dog gets very, very excited. And you arrive and you find out from the, you know, whoever's handling that particular call, whether it's a sergeant or the first officer on scene, and he says, I need you to take a position on the southeast corner of the building and watch that back window in case the guy decides to bail out. You can send your dog. And you run over there, and you need your dog to suddenly go from completely energized and completely stimulated to still, stationary, and quiet. And so you do that. You get over there to that corner, and you get your dog down, and you hold your position. Your dog's breathing can be heard a mile away because it's silent out, and he's going, ha, 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 and he's breathing, and you go, oh, shh, still. And then your dog shuts his mouth and becomes quiet. And I realize as a police officer that how important that is. Now, let's translate this to a pet owner. And when you're on your walk and your dog gets excited to go on a walk, right? As you go to find the leash that's, you know, maybe in a certain position in a closet, or it may actually be hanging on a hook near the front door, as you start walking towards that place, the dog begins to get excited, right? Your dog knows exactly what you're doing because that's that same time of day that you always go take him for a walk. Or the jingling of the collar that you use when you go for your walk. As soon as he hears that, he comes bolted into the room and he's excited. And you get those things on him and his energy is higher than what it normally would be when you're just sitting in the house, right? And so you take this dog with energy now outside to a brand new environment. Brand new in the sense that who knows what's out there. It could be the neighbor with that dog that he loves to bark at and try to sniff, right? Or it could be that skateboarder that he knows is going to be down the street, and this environment that he loves to go into. Again, I said new, but it's new in the sense that it's fresh for the day. It's the same things that he knows are going to get him the stimulation, that visual stimulation and the possible physical stimulation of pulling on the leash and tugging and actually having some type of engagement with that thing that he's stimulated to see, right? And so, hello, buddy. And so here comes your time where you come across this thing and it just goes haywire. Your dog now is, his energy is so high that now he's in that situation that he's been looking forward to, and you cannot control him. You cannot get him into a sit. You can't get him to lay down. You can't get him to come to a heel. He's at the end of the leash and barking and growling and snarling, or his tail is wagging. He simply wants to play so hard, and now you can't control him. And what has happened here is that the energy just kept building and building and building and building. And the anticipation of seeing that dog or seeing that skateboarder or that kid on that bicycle has come to fruition. And you have lost control. So in this very first training day, on this very first time that your dog sees all these other dogs and other dogs that are out of control, and how much fun it is for this dog to sometimes be in this environment, or how stressful it is for this dog to be in this environment. Now we're asking you, put your dog in a still, in a stationary, in a quiet position of sit at the heel position. And you're going, are you crazy? And it is so fun on that first day because the shock on many people's faces of what? You're going to ask me to do what? Are you kidding me? And we just continue to encourage. And on top of it all, we don't even tell you how to get your dog into a sit. Most people at this point, even the puppies, they've worked on something similar to a sit with their dog. I've not seen it very often, other than those people have maybe just picked up their dogs before they start training with us, where they don't have some type of technique to get their dog into a sit. Is it always correct? No. And so what we do on this very first day is we suggest different ways of getting your dog into a sit. It is really, I think, important to just simply get your dog into a sit, not necessarily the technique on how you get your dog into a sit. As long as it is not inhumane, as long as you're not hitting the dog, as long as it is effective in a manner that doesn't cause the dog more stress, I don't care how you do it. I just want you to get your dog into a sit. It could be using a treat. It could be using one hand on the collar and one hand on his butt, and you get your dog into that sit. All right, so we tell people that bring your dog over to this heel position where you come to a stop, that stop is actually the command to sit. You don't need to say sit and say it over and over again. The process of you coming to a stop is more valuable and means more to the dog than what it is that you're going to say. Because dogs are masters at reading body language, and you coming to a stop is huge to the dog in regard to a voice, so to speak. Because dogs, again, are masters at reading body language. They do it all day long. They do it with people. They do it with other dogs. And so they know when you come to a stop that can mean something. In many cases, at this point, it means, pull on the leash harder because I don't want you to stop. I want to go to the fire hydrant, or I want to go to that house that has that dog behind the gate that wants to bark at me. All right, so stop right now to the dog means something entirely different. It means pull harder so that I don't have to just stop and I can't get to that tree or get to that fire hydrant. All right, so, but what we're going to do is we're going to teach that dog something entirely different. When you stop, it means come under control. It means come to a sit position on the left-hand side. And so when you come to that spot, when you in our training, or when you're at home, when you decide, I'm going to go to the curb in front of my house, or I'm going to go to the door that leads to the front yard, or the door that leads to the backyard, or I'm going to come, if your dog lives in the backyard, and you go to the gate, when you go to that gate, when you come to a stop, you're going to immediately take action and get your dog in the sit position, all right? So as soon as you stop, immediately take action, because time is not your friend in this process. As a matter of fact, time works against you. So if you come to a stop and it takes you 5 seconds, 10 seconds, 15 seconds to get your dog into a sit, there's absolutely not going to be any connection between stopping being used as a command to get your dog to sit, because the time is too long. All right, so as soon as you come to a stop, take action. Get your dog into a sit. Whatever that may be, get your dog into a sit. I prefer more of a physical positioning of the dog into the sit position than the food, because the food can take a little bit of time. But if that's what you use in the beginning, then I'm more than happy to allow you to use that for a period of time. But as time goes on, you're going to have to stop using the food, because you're going to need to move on to the next phase, because you simply want it to be that when you come to a stop, it means sit. It doesn't mean you come to a stop, reach for a treat out of a pouch, and then pull it and push it in front of his face and then pull it up over his head. That there's too many steps involved in that. But in the beginning, if that's what you need to do to begin the process of getting them to understand that stopping means sit, then that's what I'm happy to have you do for a short period of time. All right, so as you have dogs that have some aggression issues and that kind of stuff, we will evaluate the collar situation, because the collar can be either hurting you in regard to communication, making things more difficult. If you're using a pinch collar, sometimes that can be perfect. Other times it could be adding anxiety to your dog and not allowing him to process and understand what it is that you want, because the dog is so worried about the pinch collar. Maybe he has some baggage about the pinch collar because he was owned by somebody else previously, and they use the pinch collar in a manner that caused the dog distress. All right, so all these things need to be looked at, and you may need a professional, if you are not with us, to evaluate how it is that you're using that particular equipment. We will have some podcasts and some videos on YouTube and on our website that will explain a little bit better on how to evaluate the equipment that you're using for your dog. But in this case, we're just going to discuss that it is an issue and it needs to be addressed. All right, so now you're going to get your dog, you're going to come to a stop, you're going to get your dog in the seated position, and the important thing is that your dog stays in that position. As soon as your dog moves or begins the move, it is important for you to take, again, quick action. It doesn't mean become stressed out. It doesn't mean to become pissed off because your dog broke. It just means you need to take action, and it needs to be purposeful, yet not too handsy. It doesn't need to become a battle, because that's one of the things that will become an issue, is if your dog breaks and now it becomes a battle, then it becomes more about the battle than it does become about putting your dog back in that seated position. All right, so here we go. We are we'll tell you to, okay, line it up. Are you going to take your dog for a walk? And the first thing you're going to do is you're going to go to that position. You come to a stop. You immediately take action. Put your dog into a sit. And you're not going to say the word sit. You're going to just simply take action. All right, because remember, the stopping, the action of stopping is the command for sit, not the words. Now, as human beings, we want to continue to say words and talk to our dog. I'm here to tell you that your dog does not speak English. Your dog does not speak French. Your dog does not speak German, Czechoslovakian, Slovakian. The dog doesn't speak any of those languages. Your dog is a dog. Your dog understands body language way better than it understands the verbal language. All right, so come to a stop. You don't say sit. You put your dog in the seated position. You stand there. You wait. He breaks. You put him back into a sit. You stand there, you wait, your dog breaks, you put him back into a sit, and your job for this particular session is not to go for that walk. Your job is to simply get your dog to stay still, stationary, and quiet in the sit position, and you're going to do that for about 10 to 15 minutes at the most, and then you're going to put your dog away, and you're going to show him that he's the greatest dog in the world because he actually sat for whatever time it was that your dog sat. If it's a minute, then he's the greatest dog in the world for sitting there for a minute, right? But you are going to decide when it is that your dog breaks, and you're going to give him so much praise when he is seated and quiet and still that you are just going to look like a fool in front of your house, right? The people are going to think you've lost your mind, because you're going to say, what a good boy! Nice! And you're going to run around like a maniac, and you run your dog in the backyard, and you're going to give him his bowl of food, and you're going to say, dang, that dog is fantastic. He just sat for a full minute and didn't speak, didn't whine, didn't move, and what a great dog. All right? And then you're going to repeat. It could be later on that evening. It could be the following day, and you're going to begin to extend that out. Your dog's now going to stay for 2 minutes. He's then going to stay for 5 minutes. He's then going to stay for up to maybe 10 minutes before you move and say, what a great dog. Then you're going to begin to test it. You're going to test it with your neighbors and say, hey, neighbor, how you doing? They're going to walk up. Your dog's going to stay still, stationary, and quiet, and you're going to shake hands. At some point, you may even make it to Starbucks, or you may make it to Petco or PetSmart and really test your dog on this aspect of staying still, stationary, quiet. And when you come to a stop, your dog's going to sit without you having to tell him to sit. And then once that happens, you're going to have a neighbor notice. Is that the same dog you had the other day that was, you know, a couple weeks ago that was nearly pulling you down in your face? And you're going to say, as a matter of fact, it is. And we had this dog trained by Falco Canine Academy. And you're going to send them to our website. All right, so there we go. That is the very first day of our training. We've let the cat out of the bag, and it's all yours here on our Falco Canines Dog Talk podcast. All right, guys, hope that is helpful to all of you that are in our class. Look for some announcements on our website regarding our courses that we're going to have coming up online that will be available to everybody. We're going to have both a handler's course, a dog owner's course, and a train the trainer course that's going to be available very shortly. All right, we're busy filming them right now, and they will become available again, hopefully, before the holidays. All right, you guys, take care, and we will talk to you at the next one. Bye-bye.
Do you have a love-hate relationship with your dog? Learn how to change that into a relationship of love and respect with help from Falco Canine Academy.
Get your free training report at falcocanineacademy.com.
Thanks for listening to Falco Canine Dog Talk,
the show that helps you and your dog create a relationship of love and respect.
If you like what you just heard, we hope you'll pass along our web address at www.falcocanineacademy.com.
And like our Facebook page at facebook.com/Falco Canine Academy.
Follow us on twitter.com/Falco Canine Academy.
And subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/Falco143.
And remember, if you've got questions for Andy, call the K9 line at 714-798-9961. That's 714-798-9961.
This is a production of Falco Enterprises Incorporated. All rights reserved.